The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, March 25th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. The numbers to call, and I'm hoping to get some phone calls because I have an invited guest who I'm trying to connect via Zoom. We're having some technical difficulties, so they are delay a bit. But my guest is willing to entertain some phone calls. I want to talk to them. I want to get to know them. So I'm going to be very much engage in getting some detailed information from them. The numbers to call, however, are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the Family Islands, the number is 242-300-5720. And of course, I expect to have a number of texts. So if you're going to call the text line, it is 422-4796, right? Today, I'm going to have, as interviewee via Zoom, Miss Robin Lines. Miss Robin Lines is a Bahamian attorney, a public servant, and a political figure known for her work in law, education, policy, and national politics, right? She's a practicing attorney in the Bahamas and a partner at KLA Chambers. She was called to the bar in 2009 and also the bar of England and Wales, right? She has strong academic credentials, including law and criminal justice studies at the College of the Bahamas, first-class honors law degree from the University of Buckingham, master's degree in family law at Chicago Kent College of Law. She is the chairperson of the National Scholarship Advisory Committee, Bahamas, helping guide tertiary education funding and access, and has served on multiple national boards, including Road Traffic Authority Board, Air Transport Advisory Board, National Committee for Families and Children. She's a former senator in Parliament of the Bahamas. She's a strong advocate for student access to higher education, including international scholarship partnerships. And she has emphasized national priorities like workforce development and food sustainability through education policies, right? Now, her political career, right? She's a senior member of the Progressive Liberal Party, the PLP. She served also as national vice chair, and she did that between 2009 to 2017. She was also deputy chair from 2017. And we know how that race ran. I might ask one or two questions about that. She also ran for national chairman in 2023. She is now currently selected to be the PLP candidate for Kalani in the upcoming general elections, right? Ms. Lyons is the chairperson of the Bahamas chapter of Caribbean Women in Leadership. I'm going to ask some questions about that, women in politics. She's a founder of Core of Hope, a community organization supporting youth through school supplies, meals, free computer training, and homework assistance. Raised in the Bahamas as one of four children by a single mother. I got to ask some questions about that too. Okay, known for combining legal expertise, political leadership, and community advocacy. Okay, that's who's going to be my guest today. Waiting on the producer to let me know that she is in the chat room, that I can bring her in. Let me check to see my phone. And nope, I haven't got a text yet. So we're doing that technical things on that to bring her in. So when she comes on, I'm going to start off with asking about herself. Get a narrative about who her people them is, right? I want to know where that line's name come from. I want to know that narrative, right? I also want to speak about why she choose politics, especially as a woman, woman could be doing some certain things. Why politics? Then why she joined the PLP, right? Where does women fit in the Progressive Liberal Party? Will she be an advocate for women's rights and women and young children's opportunities? So these are the touching questions that I want to speak to her about, just to feel her out, because she going against some juggernauts in Killarney, some people who clearly would be a better fit. And I want to know, why should the Bahamian people, why should Killarney choose her? Before I start, because I'm still waiting on that text to say that she is online, I'm going to bring in this phone call to engage them. I have phone calls ready. Good morning, caller. Garden Radio AM. We're going to be talking to Miss Robin Lines shortly, but I see you calling. How can I help you today?
Hey, I just wanted to find out something. I was just told this. I don't know how true it was. Is it true that the opposition stated that they would be, if come to power, that they'd be giving single mothers $200 stipends every month? Who's going to pay for that, and how's that going to be possible? And based on the amount of single mothers in this country,
that's it. That's the question, sir.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I saw that interview, and I saw that the leader of the opposition, in his address to the nation, or during their campaign launch, mentioned a number of things. I'm hoping to interrogate. I'm hoping to interrogate all of the political promises that he made. I see he made a pledge that single mothers will get the $200. I see he also made a pledge regarding the post office and discontinuing the family islands and implementing a new strategy regarding that. And I plan to interrogate it. I just don't plan to interrogate it today, but I plan to interrogate that. Okay. Okay. So my guest should be ready, Kermit. See if we can patch her through, and then we can start this interview. Good morning, Miss Lines. Let me know that you can hear me. Good morning to you. I'm still waiting on that. Just bear with me, callers. Okay, let me go back to the caller, and then we'll come in. As soon as she's able to come through, we can let her say good morning to me, Kermit. But let's go to this caller in the meantime. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM. Caller, you there?
Morning, CA. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Good morning, Miss Langs. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I've been listening to the show from you started, but it's been a bit of some technical challenges trying to get you to hear me, seeing that you're in one location and I'm in another, trying to tap into to Guardian Radio remotely. So apologies for that, but I'm not late. I was here before you, boy.
No, yeah, and you need to be here before me, because I always late. And I'm glad to hear that you're here. And I'm excited about this interview, by the way. I'm very much sincerely excited.
Me too. So let me just say good morning to you. Good morning to everybody that's listening, both via radio and television and streaming online. So it's a pleasure to be in your community.
So let's get into it. I already read your bio, so the listening audience, be familiar with who you are. But I want to be familiar with who you are in terms of your lineage, because I'm not familiar with the Lions name too much. I want to know about that. I want to know if who your people them is. I want to know general brief introduction of who you are that a listening audience should know.
Well, now, in terms of my name, it's a funny story, and I'm only telling you what they told me, right? Because I wasn't around for this development, but my last name, really, the original spelling is Laing, L-A-I-N-G, not Lines. But apparently my grandfather, my mother's father, Oliver Lines, he took exception to the Laing name because somebody did something that they should not have done. And so he changed the spelling to L-Y-N-E-S. I think it's a name that he had heard, and it was close enough. And so we just, you know, use Lines.
So use a Laing name.
But I'm a Laing, yeah, from Grand Bahama, Waterkey Laing, East Grand Bahama Laing.
Okay. And
yeah, my grandparents were from McLeanstown, Waterkey. Yeah.
Oh no, that's good to know, because I love Bahamian surnames, and I love having a narrative of where people come from, especially when I'm considering voting for them. Now, you have been very active in politics, but I want to know, why did you choose to join the Progressive Liberal Party over all the political parties in the Bahamas?
Well, the PLP, for me, personally, has always been part of my personal journey in terms of how I grew up and where I grew up. My grandmother, my mother, my father, you know, everyone around me had an association, either direct or indirect, with the party. But I've never been conditioned. I've never been trained to conform. Always open to express and to question and to seek ideas for myself, right? And so whilst I was familiar, I was never conditioned. And so I had to come to my own personal understanding through reading, through interactions, through connecting. And I have a lot of Free National Movement friends, a lot of FNM friends. And so I've even had opportunity to learn and to discern certain things for myself with respect to that party. And it just happened that the PLP aligned more with my personal values and how I see the world and how I see our social responsibility. Being a party that was founded on the ideals of social justice in 1953. So you had these founders of the party who did the work and did the studies of social justice and Catholicism and, you know, looking at various other political instruments, both in the Caribbean and in London, etc., and formulating these ideals based on what they felt would be the most beneficial to lifting people up. And I just thought that, isn't that Christian? Isn't that human? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing and aspiring to do as people? And so I've always connected with the philosophy, always connected with the purpose of the Progressive Liberal Party in a way that I've never connected with another political organization.
You personally have a history of advocacy. You are known for advocacy. You speak out. You're not one of those, right, what they said, well-behaved women who sit down and cross the legs and do not speak. You stand up.
You don't think I'm well-behaved?
You stand up and speak loudly.
I'm a talkative, well-behaved woman.
That's what it is? Yeah. I wanted to know, reason why I asked that question, there's been a criticism against female politicians, right, that they don't speak loudly enough for women's issues. In your personal life, you speak out for children and women all the time. And there are a number of people who are concerned that as soon as you join frontline politics, this advocacy woman who stands up and say, this is not right, we need to implement this, we need to work and herald these women and children, we are afraid that that will die. How will you balance it? Will you be one of those demure women in politics now?
Well, I mean, can I be honest with you? The party knows me. My leader knows me. When I got nomination, they didn't give it to someone they didn't know. They didn't give it to a character they had not tested, right? And so I've been on the side of where what I had to say may not have been the most popular view for my organization. I've been respected for saying it anyway, for doing it anyway, for standing up anyway. So they understand that I'm always going to be that woman. And it doesn't matter whether I have an audience with me or help with me. My convictions are that strong, right? The things that I think are right are that strong. But I'm also always going to try to be respectful to the ideals that align with being in an organization. I'm not trying to sink the ship. I'm trying to keep our ship afloat and assist in that we reach a destination that is better and in the best interest of every Bahamian in this country. And so I argue harder inside than I do outside. So if you hear me speaking on an issue that may seem to not be what the popular view is in the party, know that in every room, I'm speaking even louder, even stronger. But I do it respectfully, doing it in an understanding that at the end of the day, we're still one team. But I'm part of that team because my team respects my individuality. My team respects my advocacy. My team respects how vocal I am when I believe in something. That's not going to change in Parliament. I think that's going to expand in Parliament and be extended by and large, because one of the reasons why I have answered this political call is because I feel I've exhausted every platform from which I've made a suggestion. See, you're either a decision maker or you're making suggestions. And the truth of the matter is, no one has to listen to anyone who's making suggestions. I needed to be a decision maker and closer to the decision-making table. Not for me, but for those same people that I've been advocating for and been fighting for. So will I stop? I can't. They are the reason that I'm going to the chair.
Your nomination for Kalani was different from a number of other candidates in the Progressive Liberal Party. Let me say why. A number of Progressive Liberal Party persons who were contending or trying, vying for the position was in the constituency lobbying for a while. They were spending some money. They were making overtures to get the nomination. You made a statement that wherever the party sends me, and this could be my words, and correct me if I'm wrong, by the way, wherever the party sends me, I shall serve. And the party sent you to Kalani. That's different. Normally, people work in their constituency first, vying for the nomination, but your party sent you there. I want to know, have you got the connectivity to Kalani, one, and how did that impact the future of the Progressive Liberal Party in terms of other persons who may have been interested and say, man, where Ms. Lyons come from?
Well, first of all, the connection to Kalani has always been that Kalani is part of my community. Whether it's my friends there, family members there, businesses that I entreat with there, colleagues there from the legal fraternity and Caribbean Women in Leadership and other, Kalani forms part of my community. So connecting with that community was not difficult because I've never disconnected. So it's just now connecting on a larger scale. But I took the view of not going into a constituency prior to ratification, because when we won the election in 2021, we won big. And so it meant that we had a lot of incumbents, but we also had a lot of persons who stayed even though they had not been successful, right? And so I thought that going into a space where it had not yet been determined whether we would stay with the incumbent who was a parliamentarian or whether the party would give another opportunity to an individual who had not been successful but had stayed connected in those constituencies, I didn't want to go in there and create any issues and wreak any havoc. I've been in party leadership for 15 years. I know what it does when you get amongst a core group of PLPs and make them make choices that are premature. Sometimes the fallout from those things are never rectified. And I didn't want to be a person who created that kind of divide. So yes, I made a decision. Let's regularize what we need to do. Let's make sure that persons are respectfully asked to step aside, or however the process was through the candidates committee. I wanted to submit myself properly to that process for the first time ever and let it take its natural course. And I did not apply, like I said, for any constituency in particular. The unavailability of those constituencies, whether by a member of parliament or by a person of interest who had run in there before. And so I thought that was the best thing to do. And based on the reception that I've gotten since I've been ratified in Kalani, based on the conversations I've had when I've been asked the same question, I think I made the right decision, because the feedback has been extremely positive and very, very encouraging.
It's a statement that politics must always be local, but we have a region community, a global community. And I see that you were a chairperson of the Bahamas chapter of Caribbean Women in Leadership. I think it's pronounced Civil, if that's true.
Civil, yes.
And I want to know the importance, your opinion on the importance of the Bahamian women's voice internationally, globally. Should we be involved in talking about big issues like what is happening in Cuba, what is happening in Venezuela, what is happening in our region in general. Will you have a opinion, a public opinion on that?
Well, I mean, you know, we have opinions on everything. Some persons don't necessarily share their opinion publicly, and other times it's a matter of giving things some time to make sure that your opinion is well informed, right? So, yes, I think Bahamian women have to step into international conversations, regional conversations, because as the world seems to be expanding, it's also shrinking, right? And technology is bringing everything to your front door, sometimes to the palm of your hands. And eventually, we're not going to be able to ignore what's happening in different pockets, in different parts of the region and different parts of the world, because these things have impact. They're impacting us. And I think it's important for us to understand what's happening, to have the knowledge and wisdom to insert ourselves into the conversation, and when necessary, absolutely to give public opinion. And Bahamian women have always been strong, always been opinionated. I think now it's time for us to act in a collective, so that it's not Robin in the East saying this, it's not Nancy in the West saying that, someone in the North saying this, someone in the South saying something else. How do we connect? How do we band together so that when we speak not just as a united force, but we speak to assist one another in the knowledge. I often find that when I have conversations with multiple people about the same thing, I see it from so many different angles, so many different vantage points. I learn things that I didn't know before, because everybody's perspective helps you to approach problem solving. You understand from a different view. And I think it's healthy conversation.
You are going against some juggernauts in Kalani. A number of people saying that they would be the better choice. Why should Kalani choose you?
I think Kalani should choose me because of the vast and the varied experience that I've had that has brought me to this point. A lot of what persons are hearing are factors of promise. This is what I will do. This is what I intend to do. The truth of the matter is Kalani is so diverse from one end of the scale all the way to another. And the person that represents this community needs to be able to appeal to all of those spaces, all of those spheres of people. I can do that because I have done that. So when it comes to community service, I've ran my own nonprofit and worked in the nonprofit space for almost 2 decades. So I understand people on that level. When it comes to business, I've been a person in business and running my own business since I was 16 years old and representing in my legal work, businesses, corporations, companies, etc. When it comes to legislation, I've worked in legislation, worked through the Senate, worked on so many different governmental boards and agencies. I understand that group of persons. Even when it comes to foreigners who are residents and expats who are residents, what I've done in immigration, my understanding of those laws and how they impact and affect assists me in that. And just the person that I am, the woman that I am not a promise maker. I am someone who commits to what it is that I am saying I'm going to do because I understand my limitations. I'm also someone who always does what I say I'm going to do. And I've been that person. And I think Kalani needs fresh energy, new energy. Kalani needs someone who is going to be able to appeal across the board and is going to be effective across the board. But Kalani also needs a member of parliament that's going to form part of the next government of the Bahamas, so that the advocacy and the work is going to be channeled, in a way where you can actually get something. And you're right, all of those persons who are vying for this space, this seat in parliament to represent Kalani, all offer something extremely special. But I don't see any of them offering everything that Kalani needs. I find that in myself. And I've had to learn how to say that without feeling as though I'm appearing or sounding arrogant. I've learned how to say that because I've done my own assessment of them and of myself and of the constituency, of the community, of the government of the times of the season.
You mentioned that.
And that's how I align. Huh?
You mentioned that Kalani is diverse. I'm not familiar with the boundaries anymore since there's been some shift here. But at one point in time, I knew that Tropical Gardens was a part of it. I forget that
area. It still is. And, in Poland, 11 and 1.
And it's not Gambia. Is it Gambia?
It's Gambia. Gambia is there.
Okay, that's what I want to ask about. Being diverse. Gambia has some challenges there. From your walkabout and throughout the community, I want you to identify the characteristics of Kalani in general from further west, and including Gambia, and tell me some of the challenges you saw in Gambia and those affiliated communities, and how will you address those, and what is your plan for the overall Kalani, and in particular of that working class community of Gambia?
That's a long question, so let me make sure I break that up. So
I'll ask it again. You talk start off, and I'll remind you the point where I wanted to go. So forgive me for that.
Okay. So the demographic of further west. What I've learned about Kalani in general is that what is required is different depending on where you are and who you're speaking with, and where their circumstances are. But I've learned in Kalani not to make assumptions. I think persons have done that too. Made assumptions from the outside looking in. I've tried to draw conclusions based on connecting, draw conclusions based on conversation. So there are persons who would tell me, you know, I don't need in terms of, you know, food assistance and those kinds of things, but we need to ensure that our member of parliament is not missing any gaps. Because what you would find sometimes is, in a community, if someone feels like you are okay, then they leave you alone. There's no question about your wellness. There's no question about your well-being, or the ask is not there. How are you? How can I serve you? What are the issues that you find you want to discuss? And me asking these questions have led me into a lot of rooms, because while the issue may be different, while the ask may be different, everybody has something that they want their member of parliament to address. So for the West, we've been having conversations about infrastructure. We're having conversations about security. We're having conversations about businesses. We're having conversations about the changing dynamics and persons moving in and the transient spaces, Airbnbs and rentals. So we're having those kinds of conversations the further west that we go. As we move into spaces like Gambia, stations as well, healthcare, education, immigration concerns, opportunities for employment, opportunities for business, opportunities for advancement. What I've learned, though, is no matter who I'm talking to, and this has been impressive to me, no one wants a handout. Everyone wants to be empowered. Everyone wants to be uplifted to a place of independence from the ask. And that has been impressive to me. Because, you know, even if as I look in at a space like Gambia, and I've spent some speaking to persons extensively and trying to understand their vision for their own community, because people always ask me the question, what are your plans? What are your plans? These plans can't be individual based. They can't be my plans. They have to be ours. If you don't get community buy-in, if you don't get the support of your constituents, if this isn't a marriage, if it's not a partnership, it will not work. Ideas I have and the ones that I've kept and strengthened has been the ones that the community have embraced and they've bought into, and we've been talking through how we can manifest these things in a way that they have longevity. So it's not just campaign energy. We're not just going in there riding on promises and hopes, but these are things that we can sustain and build out and expand. You know what I mean? And all across Kalani, the conversation is the same. It's not just about me. It's not just about my home. It's about my entire community, my entire constituency, my entire country.
Ms. Langs, would you be willing to debate your opponent?
Anytime. Anytime. Because I think that's important as well. See, the state of the nation, right? The state of the world is at such a critical place that we don't need people voting just because. I don't want anyone to vote for me just because step. This is a big decision. This is a big move to make. And if constituents don't really believe in you, if they don't really believe that you can be the voice, that you can be the person that can move them just a little further than they were before, then that's already a challenge. It's already a problem. I've spoken to people, and I just had a community meeting last night at the New Providence Community Center, and so many people came out and we were talking, and one of the questions I asked them, and they were shocked. I said, are you going to leave me out here by myself? When I win this, when you vote for me, and I am your member of parliament, are you going to leave me out here by myself to serve alone? Or is this going to be a real partnership? Is this going to be a real collaborative effort that if you are saying these are the policies that we want to advance, and I say to you, okay, let's rally, let's get together, let's talk about it. Are you going to come? Are you going to show up? Are you going to be part of the solution-driven ideas that we put forward together? Because we are a country of strong diagnosis. Every problem we have, we can clearly articulate and speak to. But solutions are needed, and bodies are needed. Numbers are needed. When you really want to get someone's attention, they need to know that you don't stand alone, that you have the support. And so absolutely, because, you know, these kinds of debates foster something that I think is necessary in this time. Are you able to answer the hard questions and answer them honestly? And I've always been able to do that without reservation.
I got a texter wanted you to go over the boundaries again of, I know I asked it earlier, but the constituency of Killarney, where it starts and how far it stretches to. So I just want to give you the opportunity to do that.
Okay, so if you're headed west on JFK, you know where we turn into Prospect?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be where our most eastern boundary starts. Going into Sanford Drive and Atlantic, you know where Balmoral is?
Yep.
Okay, so going that way and coming across over into a small portion of what they call the Western Grove.
Okay.
Coming out into West Bay Street. So that's the eastern boundary, that little curve, that little cut. Mm-hmm. Everything that would be on the northern side of that road where Balmoral is Killarney. Everything on the southern side is Fort Charlotte.
Okay.
Come around, and then we go all the way down to West Bay as far as you could go. If we stay on JFK, then we go all the way down to JFK, pass Airport Industrial Park, keep on driving as far west as you can go. And everything in that, in the middle of those two boundary lines of West Bay and JFK, with St. James being on the south of that JFK boundary by and large, and Killarney being on the northern side, more toward the coastal line area, all of some part of Lyford Hills and moving all the way down.
Okay.
Extremely long, but St. James has taken out a huge part of that landmass. So I want to say thank you to Owen Wells for helping me out with that. That would have been a long, that would have been a lot more ground to cover, I tell you. So he's got some good legwork to do in because polling division 3 and 11 were completely removed. And so we had a renumbering of the Killarney boundary. So where we were 14 polling divisions, we're now 12 polling divisions. And there's been some renumbering. So polling division 12 is now numbered as 11. Polling division 13 is now numbered at 3. And the old polling division 14 is now 12. Other than that, the boundaries have pretty much stayed the same. Just a little small cut out of polling division 4 where Serenity and Mount Pleasant were at. We're pretty solid, looking the same. And we have the maps available at our constituency office. So as persons come in and they want to see or know the changes, we're always happy to kind of go over that with them so that they can look at it and see it. And we're encouraging persons who were in those old poll numbers. Remember, 13 is now 3. So if you were there, just go to any one of the parliamentary registration sites so that they can make that change on your voter's card. If you were in 12, you're now 11. And if you were in 14, you're now 12. So just making those small adjustments to your voter's card so that nobody is frustrated, because of course, polling stations align with divisions, and you don't want to think that you are in an old polling division number. You're in something new, stand on the line for a long time, only to be told you're not at this school, you're at another. So we've been encouraging persons, for those who are not able to move, they can call the constituency office at 429-3271. We're picking persons up even as we canvass, and they're asking for assistance. We're assisting them in that regard. So that's been going really, really well.
Where exactly is your constituency office? And when, what time do you be there in terms of if people listening from Kalani wants to speak to you personally and explain the issues or just want to get to know you better?
Yeah, we're in the Sun Fun Hotel building. So as soon as you enter, we're in that first, we're in the first part of the hotel, and we have signage up, and the door is wrapped, so it's easy to see that that's where we are. The office hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday to Friday, and on Saturdays we're there 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I spend a lot of time on the road, a lot of time meeting up with persons in different community spaces, but I've locked down some office hours. So what I ask persons to do is just call the constituency office phone, which is, again, 429. The other number, the landline number for you as well, because you can call and schedule a time that you want to see me and I'll be there. And most days I try to get there between 2 and 5 p.m., just in case I have any walk-ins and the like. And other than that, I'm on the road touching people and meeting them where they are.
As you're on the road touching people, have you come across despondent voters who say, man, I ain't voting no more. I hear you. You're a nice lady. But I give up on this voting thing. What do you tell people like that who said, man, they're not participating in the voting process anymore?
Well, those have been interesting conversations, and I've had a few of them. But one of the things I ask them first and foremost is, are you concerned about what's happening in your country? And the answer is always yes. And my follow-up statement is always, then you have to be part of the conversation. See, voting inserts you into the conversation. It means that I am participating, because you can't you don't get an opportunity to criticize where you've been silent, because silence gives consent. So if you are concerned about what is happening in our country, then your first point of action must be to speak to who leads us and make that decision. And a lot of people say, I only one vote and it doesn't matter. And what I say don't matter, and what I do doesn't matter. Then the question, well, what is your space of influence? Because everyone has a space of influence. Everyone has someone or multiple persons who not only do what you say, but do what you do. And that's why participating is so critical, especially for persons who are, you know, first-time voters, especially for persons who, you know, are part of business community, and you have family, you have friends. If you care about this country and our people on every level, then voting has to be of engaging in participation. And then the second way is staying connected. So I've been able to have a lot of conversations with people and try to convince them to show up and to understand how much their participation matters. There is no insignificant person in this country. There are some people who have removed themselves by choice because they have convinced themselves that what they think doesn't matter. And I'm trying to convince them truthfully that it really does, Nuri. It matters on levels that we perhaps have not given ourselves credit for. And we're not just voting for ourselves, you know. We're voting and participating for the sector of our country that doesn't have a say, our children, right? We're voting for persons who are incapacitated in both mind and sometimes body, and because of the challenges, it takes them out of the pool. We're voting for them too. We're thinking about them too. we're deciding for them too. So I don't shy away from those conversations. And interestingly enough, I met a lady as I was canvassing in Tropical Gardens. And she told me before I got to the door, she said, I don't vote. I haven't voted in the last 15 years. Mm. And we got to talking because she said, it don't make no sense. You come here, I say, why? Whether you vote or not, I'm still going to be a member of parliament. So beyond you voting for me, this is about you partnering with me, collaborating with me, because after the election, it's about service. And service requires partnership. We got to talking. And before I left, she gave me $200 for our seniors check-in initiative, which is a program where we provide food vouchers and vegetables when they're available. But we also use it as an opportunity to check on the well-being and wellness of our seniors in Kalani. And I say that to say this. When you are genuine, when you are true, when people can not only hear what you're saying, but feel what you're saying, it goes a long way, you know. And all people want to know in this election is that I'm not being manipulated. This is not about just getting to a position of power for oneself. But this individual actually cares about what happens next, actually cares about me, cares about my family, cares about this country. And I have not had a hard time convincing people and making them feel it because it's truth, because it's genuine. And that is something you cannot fake. That is something you cannot politicize because it's an energy. It's a vibe. It's an energy. And I think it's resonating with people.
Yes. Ms. Lyons, I see we have a number of callers who want to engage you. I'm hoping that you're able to give me some space for that. I'm going to pass them through so hopefully the questions aren't too long, but that you can address. Go ahead, caller. That person hang up. Let's move to the next one. Guiding Radio AM, are you live? We're talking to Ms. Robin Lyons, who is the standard bearer for the PLP in the Kalani constituency. Go ahead, caller.
And who would be the next member of parliament? Let me say this, Nuri. Ms. Robin Lyons is in the most watch seat in this whole general election.
Now, you cut off, Paul, I missed that part. Can you say it again?
So you're in the most watched constituency for the election.
Most watched, okay, yes.
Yes, I heard, I hope you heard when I said that you would be the next member of parliament.
I heard you loud and clear, and I agree.
Thank you. But what I'm saying too, Ms. Lyons, you are in a race with three oppositions. You are the government, the PLP's candidate. Right? Now, the other opposition, once you're not with the PLP, that means you're part of the opposition. So let's cut it down to 100 votes. You need to do honestly and truthfully secure 85 out of 100. And I guarantee you that you win. But there's something that I want to ask you. You can answer it when I hang up. Mr. Ronnie, the gentleman who had run in the last election up there, what is he playing in your campaign?
Okay, thank you very much, Gore. They asked about Ronnie Duncombe and whether he's helping you with your campaign.
Yeah, I think Mr. Duncombe has been very supportive. As a matter of fact, we had a bit of a handover where all of his notes and other things and some of the ideas that he had and the work that he'd put in, he made that available to me. We met at his office. We went over everything. And he said, listen, whatever it is that you can use. So my first meeting in Kalani with the constituency branch, he was right there. And he's been accessible every step of the way. And I asked him, I said, I don't know if this is normal. I don't know if every person who's ran previously takes this kind of time to assist the other person in the leg, but this certainly has been, in our case, a kind of a relay, if you will. And he's passed that baton, and he's always been in the background saying, we got to do this. We got to win this. Just be supportive. And I know either him or even his wife, Tanya Duncombe, she actually just sent me a text, said, sis, I'm tuned in. So both of them have been extremely supportive, and he's really given everything he could to this campaign because he knows me, he knows my character, he knows the kind of woman that I am. And so in his words, not mine, it's been easy to step aside and let you run this race.
Okay. We have some more callers here. Let me just pass them through so they can ask their question. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio. Okay.
Hey, gracious, you just see and your guests, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, Rita, I think your guest is a very nice individual, right? I never personally met her before, but she comes from good people. So could your guest reiterate to the voters public at hand, right, that the importance of voting before the bell is ring, because once the bell is rung, you are no longer eligible to vote. Second thing I want your guest to reiterate to people is, right, if you're in the St. James constituency, right, and you were in the Golden Isles constituency before, so please switch over your voting district based on the vote, but you would stagnate the line because you only allow 3 hours to vote, and that's 6 hours behemoth time, right? That you stagnate the line because you'll have to find out which polling division you're in, and you're going to make the line extremely lengthy during voting time.
Okay, thank you very much, Carl. Let's go to the next caller there. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing well. We're talking to Miss Robin Lines. Robin for progress. That's what they say.
Yes, yes. Oh, I think the correct word there is stagger and not stagnate.
Okay, I appreciate you educating us.
Anyway, I am not a PLP supporter as such, but this level of commitment and intellect needs to be in Parliament. You know, that I think, you know, we have a rare opportunity here to put somebody in the House of Assembly who will articulate in such a manner that, you know, it'll be like a person who can, she is a person who can reach Kyle. Okay? I am endorsing her.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's move to the next caller.
Thank you so much.
Good. Definitely, Ms. Lyons have an independent voice. It'll be interesting to see and hear this independent voice when she makes it to the House of Assembly. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guided radio. I'm sorry, caller. Wait, Ms. Lyons wanted to say something.
No, I was just going to answer the two questions that the caller had. Something that he wanted me to reiterate, but let's take the calls. No problem. Good.
Go ahead, caller.
You can answer Mang's voice. Good morning, Ms. Lyons, and good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Here. You can hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, I think she has something to offer. I agree with the caller that I think she could get in Parliament. But I hear her talk about her name and where she comes from and all that stuff. I want to know if she have any children or any adopted children. And Ms. Lyons, when you was running for chairman, I was one of those PLPs, Bahamian citizen, who feel like you deserve a chance. I don't like how you was bygone that over with. I want to know, if you wasn't good enough to be the chairman, what make you so good enough to be the member of parliament for Kalani? They chose you or send you that way. They think you was good enough for that. But when I listen to and Fred Mitchell, it's like they was rude to you when you was running in the chairman race, saying that he prefer Fred, like he trusts him, although Lady Pillen walk with you inside. So what made you so good now and you wasn't good for them then?
Okay, allow Ms. Lyons to respond. Thank you very much.
I mean, I don't know if I agree that it wasn't good enough. I don't think that was the understanding. And it's certainly not, if it was the understanding, it's certainly not the truth. So it wasn't that I wasn't good enough to be chairman. It was that our chairmanship race is democratic. The leader had a vote, you know. The leader had an opinion, and I think people got offended that he made a choice. But so did hundreds of others in our democratic process for convention, and their choice was me. So I'm not offended, though, by those things, and I want people to understand that. Someone voting against us, I don't take that to be an indictment on my qualifications or what I can do or whether I'm good enough. It's simply them making their choice. And I keep telling people, outcomes are never something that I fight for. Process is, though. Let the process be fair, let it be equitable, and let people make that decision. I'm running in a race against three other persons. They're going to be constituents in Kalani who vote for someone other than me as well. Should I hold it against them? Is it them saying that I'm not good enough? I think they may just be saying, This is my preference for any one reason or the other. What you do if you are a leader, is after people make their choice, you stand firm as a leader and you continue to lead and provide assistance whenever, wherever. And so I don't want people to castigate any individual's decision to support someone. And like I said, that wasn't a race where I was any damsel in distress. I ran away from the big boys. You understand? I'm a lioness.
Lioness.
I'm truthful and honest, standing in the pride of my convictions and heralding our democracy. If we really were the freedom fighters of democracy in this country, if we were the architects of the modern Bahamas, then how can we be afraid for persons to make choices? It is not just the PLP way, it's the way of the country. It's the democratic way. So I've always been good enough to be chairman.
Let me squeeze this call in.
I agree that people should make their own choices and decisions as well.
Yes, ma'am. Let me squeeze this call in. 30 seconds. Guy and Reader AM.
Thank you so very much, please. How are you doing?
Doing well. You have 30 seconds, though.
Excellent. Good morning, Madam Lines. Look, I just want to say that I would encourage, as strongly as I can, with all my heart and soul, the people of Kalani to give Robin Dawn Lines an opportunity, because she's someone who will stand up to David. I mean, to stand up to Goliath. She's someone who's not afraid to travel alone to bring the real change, to break the status quo that we talk about so eloquently, but we put little action to in reality. Robin Dawn Lines will make a difference. Please, Kalani, give her a chance. Thank you for the opportunity, Cecil. God bless.
Let me patch. Let me get 30 seconds for this next person, and then I'll have Ms. Lang sum everything up. Go ahead, Carl. You have 30 seconds, then Ms. Lang is going to sum everything up. Go ahead.
I'm very impressed to the point where I can literally envision you as maybe a possible future prime minister of this Bahamas. I don't say that very lightly. You remind me a lot of Leon Bartley.
Thanks very much. Ms. Lang, you need to come back on, because I want to ask you some questions about me and Mark Motley. But the last seconds are yours. We are at the end of the show, but I want you to sum up what you have planned for Kalani. What do we anticipate? Next time you come on, I want to talk about backbencher and cabinet in general, but I just want to do a summary of what you have planned for Kalani and why should they vote for you again?
Well, one of the things I have planned for Kalani is to look at lifting Kalani from, if we try to introduce programs and interventions that are anywhere in the middle, anywhere at the top, then we miss people. I want to ensure that all of our ideas, all of what we are doing, no one is left out. So we're starting at the very bottom and we're lifting everyone. I don't care if you are a multi-billionaire, we have engagements for you. And I know we've run out of time, but I want persons to go to connectingkalani.org to find out more about our programs for small business, our policies in relation to real property taxes and Department of Inland Revenue. Let's look at property in Kalani and the acquisition, finding out how these new legislation can assist people that may not want to take the route of the Quieting Titles Act. We have grocery assistance, we have job readiness and upskilling, we have programs that deal with transportation in Kalani, programs that deal with security and surveillance and encouraging small businesses through the various directories, etc. But I want people to join us on social media, join us on collectingkalani.org, so that these plans and more ideas, you can partner with us to be part of what it is that we're doing. Enough time to get into sufficient today. It's only been an hour and that time has gone so fast because I had fun.
Yes.
I had a good time with you. And so I thank you so much. And I look forward to future discussions. On Saturday, I'll be on the Delaport Park. We have a Meet the Candidate event. So we'll be there from about 1 to 6 with food and, you know, other festivities, just meeting again with persons, and bring the children, bring your family. Let's connect out there. We have a Easter celebration that we're going to have a family fun day on April 6th. And, you know, persons can get more information on that. Again, another opportunity to connect. We have a small business think tank where we're bringing business persons from Kalani who have run successful small and medium-sized enterprises, and we're bringing them into the room to discuss the ease of doing business, ideas to remove the bureaucracy, how do we make access to business more palatable for the average person entering it and those budding entrepreneurs. We also have tutoring that's going to start hopefully in the next week. Also, BGCSEs and BJCs, GLAT, etc. Kalani doesn't have a government high school. So we're also trying to look at ways that we can assist some of our junior high and senior high school students in getting to school when they miss that bus that leaves at 7:45 and 8 o'clock. How do we supplement transportation? Because based on our communications with the schools, there is a high level of absenteeism. And I think it's connected to transportation and just getting so far from where you live. So there's a lot going on, a lot of programs, and we want to share more of that. And I've not, you know, and before I go, my team has chastised me, CA, for weeks, because I've been doing this kind of work, whether it's at a high scale or at the lowest of levels, for all of my professional life and even from my childhood. So to now do it and to have to document it and put it on social media and everything I do for somebody to have to take a picture of it, I am struggling.
We will invite you back to just talk about what all you... A lot.
I'm struggling and I'm trying to get better at it because I've always been a doer, never someone who needed to showcase if I'm helping someone. And I realize now that I have to give an account.
Yes.
And so they're working with me and trying to assist me because, like I say, to brag about the good that you've done is something that I've always struggled with. I've always been someone focusing on doing good and never highlighting the good I'm doing.
Yes.
So I'm trying to find a happy medium between the two because people want to know what's happening in the things that I'm implementing. So I'm working, but to all of you that are listening, I struggled to brag about these things and not just do it. So we're coming to you. You'll see some things happening. You'll see us documenting some things, some more, so that you can know not only how to know, you know, how to be aware of what we're doing, but how to benefit from it as well.
And that's
about reaching you.
I appreciate you. I enjoy this interview. That's Ms. Robin Langs. Ms. Robin for Progress, the PLP candidate for Kalani. I enjoyed this interview.
That's it. Lines. Real Progress.
Real Progress.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. Ever schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
This is definitely the time for BAMC to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMC, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Hey everyone, get ready for a night you won't forget. It's Z Live's Far Back Friday Party with host Shivago Lang. Friday, March 27th, beginning at 7 p.m. Join us at Sapodillo State for a night of 80s and 90s music, dance, light bites, and refreshments. Tickets at the Nassau Guardian between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. $50 per person. Cash sales only. It's Z Live's Far Back Friday Party. Real music, lots of fun eats and drinks, and oh so cool vibes. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.